Today's episode of The Gray Lodge will take us on a journey of symbolism that includes mirrors, keys, 430, 911, a Buenos Aires Philip Jeffries connection, Twin Peaks gets conspiracy theorist named Dr. Amp, and an emerging reawakening of Cooper in the body of Dougie. Join me now in The Gray Lodge as we unpack Twin Peaks The Return, Part 5, Case Files. We're in Las Vegas, and remember those suburban assassins trying to take Dougie out? Well, they call a woman, and they notify her that they couldn't successfully kill Dougie. So the woman reluctantly, apprehensively sends a text message out to someone who, we have no clue. But we do see who is on the receiving end, or should I say what? It's a black device with two lights sitting in a dingy bowl. We'll come back to that by the end of this episode. Meanwhile, back in South Dakota, the autopsy of the male torso body from Ruth Davenport's bed back in Twin Peaks The Return Part 1. The autopsy found a ring inscribed "To Dougie with Love, Janie E." Janie E? Janie E. And of course, I can't reiterate enough the ideas of the cyclical cycles, rings, the samsara. You know, the ring was such a huge role in the first couple of seasons. Well, here we go with another ring. We don't need to go over that again, but there's going to be another reference to the cyclical nature of reality later in this episode. Okay. So Mr. C, he's still in that jail cell, and he's laying in bed, and he says, "And now food is coming." And almost on cue, a guard brings food over. The reason for this, we're showing Mr. C has supernatural powers. Okay? This is much like the CDs of the Tibetan masters. You know, they had the ability to walk through walls and levitate and all that stuff. Well, this is the divination powers. Or maybe he caused this delivery of food mentally. And Mr. C looks into the mirror in the jail cell, and we get flashbacks to the end of season 2, where Cooper's doppelganger, aka Mr. C, is in the red room laughing maniacally with Bob. And we see in South Dakota in the jail cell, Mr. C's looking into the mirror, and his face contorts, and it's like turning into Bob's face. And he says, "You're still with me? That's good." And again with the mirrors, last episode we saw Dougie sort of staring into the mirror and reaching out to it, probably wondering who's the spirit, who's the gold orb inside the body, wondering the nature of his own reality. And now we've got Mr. C pretty much doing the same thing, only this time he sees the reflection, and now we know, like, that's Bob. And then also during the flashbacks, we saw the mirror at the end of the finale of season 2 when Cooper's master, or not Cooper, I guess it's Evil Cooper, aka Bob, aka Mr. C, smashes his head into the mirror and sees the reflection of Bob in the mirror. All right. So again with the mirrors, just like we talked about last episode. We head over to Twin Peaks. We see Mike, Snake. Where you been all our lives here, buddy? He's running a car dealership. He interviews Steven, this guy Steven, and lights up Steven for how awful and sloppy his resume is. Meanwhile, Mike's desk is a complete mess, a disarray of papers scattered everywhere. And then Mike, the guy, you know, he kicks Steven out, and then he says, "What an asshole." Sheriff Frank Truman, he's on the job, and Doris's wife comes in and starts harassing him about fixing a leak. Reminded me of Fire Walk With Me, if you recall. What was his name? Carl was getting harassed at the trailer park, constantly having people needing things fixed. I don't know. Just an idea. Now we're back in Las Vegas. Dougie's getting ready for work, and he watches Sonny Jim, his son, get into the car. and he starts crying. Now, there's a reason for this, but what is the reason? Sonny's in the car. He looks bored. He looks unengaged. And Dougie feels, I don't know, incredible sympathy, maybe. Maybe he sees a bit of himself in Sonny. Maybe he realizes that Sonny had a real crappy dad in Dougie. The tulpa, I should say, of Dougie. Or maybe Sonny's a tulpa. Maybe he's not real. Or maybe Cooper is sad that he doesn't have a son, right? And what I think is that Cooper, being an FBI man, is on a mission. And part of that mission requires great sacrifice. All right? It involved the sacrifice of 25 years, Cooper's best years, stuck in the Red Room. And the creation of this Dougie Tulpa, which birthed Sonny Jim as part of this mission. And there's lots of collateral damage happening in this realm for this mission. But the mission's obviously very important, but that doesn't mean he's not a human with emotions, right? Just an idea. And someone on Reddit, I was looking around and I stumbled upon this post, said that the shot of Sonny Jim is shown in reverse, much like the Red Room scenes where everything's in reverse, right? And remember last episode, we had Mr. C talking in reverse for like one word of the sentence. And it's very hard to tell, but I will play the clip for you guys now. If you're on the video version of this, you'll see it. But you'll see Sonny Jim just sitting in the car, but there's a part where Sonny blinks, and it sure enough does look like he's blinking in reverse. Take a watch.
Okay, Dougie, you're acting weird as shit. Just don't forget to call them, okay? And no more drinking and gambling. Now get going. You'll be late for work.
So what does that mean? Does that mean that Dougie and Sonny Jim, this is all an illusion within the Red Room, and artifacts sort of spill through sometimes? Maybe that's why Mr. C talked in reverse for one word. Who knows? So hoodlums are still looking to take Dougie out at that house where, you know, remember his car's still at the house where he was sleeping with Jade. Janie E. drives Dougie to work and sort of demands Dougie get out of the car because Dougie's just sitting in the passenger seat, right? She leans over and she like opens the door. She's like, get out. And this was, again, cyclical nature. This is what happened when Jade dropped Dougie off at the casino. She had to force him out. Dougie gets into work. And before he walks in the building, he sees a statue of a cowboy with a pistol and he stares at it. And for a long time, right? And the statue is an area of focus in the show. It shows up in the credits as well. I think this is reminding, it's a reawakening Cooper within the body of Dougie. It's reawakening Cooper to who he truly is, an FBI agent, a man of the law. So anyways, Dougie gets dragged to his staff meeting, his coworker who has all the coffees. He says, off in dreamland again, Dougie. Again, a reference to the idea of the dream world. Or Area 51, if you're, you know, want to go to Alien, because that's what they called Area 51. If you want to take the alien angle. And you'll notice that he gets on the elevator and the clock shows the time is 8:55. Okay? That's not out of the ordinary, but the clock hands appear to point to 9 and 11. All right? If you look at the hands, I'll put, again, images always on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe. Is this the 119 that we heard the drug-addicted mother screaming about? Or is it a magical formula of 911, like we talked about recently? Twin Peaks of the Return Part 3 and such. You know, in Season 3, this number is coming up multiple times. Of 911, 611 on the police car, all kinds of stuff. So anyways, he's in this meeting, and we find out Dougie works at Lucky 7 Insurance. Assistant guy is handing out coffees, and Dougie, you know, again, Cooper's inside there, and he grabs the coffee. Of course, he loves coffee. But he takes Frank's cup, which I found interesting because it even says Frank on the cup. Well, we know that Frank Silva is the actor who played the role of Bob. Is there something there? I don't know. Seems odd. Tom Sizemore, he plays Dougie's coworker Tony, and he's giving the boss, battling Bud Mullins, a report on some cases he's working. And we hear Dougie's, what I think is his first original statement. Everything he said till now has just been repeating what other people say, right? Because there's some green flashes on Tony's face. If you look, there's green flashes, and Dougie says he's lying. And I think this is the first unique thing Dougie says. Again, with the idea that something's happening here. There's a consciousness emerging from Dougie. But, you know, we'll of course keep going into this. But it gets involved into the storyline, this whole case that Tom Sizemore's character is lying about. We'll come back to that later in the season. But the green flash on his face is some kind of trigger. It's a trigger that Dougie can see, much like at the casino where the lodge entrance was flashing above the slot machines that were going to hit. So Bud Mullins doesn't like that Dougie's calling his best worker, Tom Sizemore there, Tony, a liar. So he pulls him into the office, and Bud's having a conversation, and pay attention to how Dougie reacts to some of the things he's saying.
Dougie. Where do you get the stones to call my best agent a liar?
Agent?
He closes more cases in a week than you do in a month.
Agent.
This is serious, Dougie. This is no game.
Game.
Uh-huh. Okay, Dougie. We'll play a game. It's a homework game. Since you missed the last 2 days of school, smart guy. I want you to take these case files home with you tonight. I need a full assessment on each case. And what you come back with tomorrow will have a whole hell of a lot to do with your future at this company.
Case files.
Mullins says the word agent and Dougie repeats it, agent. But he seems more like Cooper than Dougie in this moment, and he snaps back to Dougie if you watch the clip. It's like he fixates on the word agent. He's like, agent, why is that important? But then he snaps back into, you know, Dougie. But Bud gives him an assignment, hands him a ton of case files. Seems like a punishment for his outburst of claiming Tony was a liar. And even when he hands Dougie the case files, and says case files, Dougie repeats it. He says case files. And I think this is a trigger for remembering the Blue Rose case files. All right. Dougie, he has to take a leak, and a woman lets him into the ladies' room, and she says she's ready to kiss him now, which is kind of odd. Like, Dougie's a real womanizer, apparently. And her necklace, if you look at it, it's a black hexagon. It's a flattened cube. This is the black cube of Saturn. And I propose that she's a force of Saturnian influence trying to distract Dougie from his mission. Maybe. Just tonight, one of the crazier theories will float out there. So the casino is reviewing Mr. Jackpot's 30 jackpot wins, his 425K winnings. And the two mobsters that own the casino are the Mitchum brothers, Bradley and Robert. And they show up and they beat up and fire the manager for letting this happen. Bradley is played by James Belushi. Robert is played by Robert Knepper. And in fact, Bradley Mitchum was supposed to be played by Paul Giamatti, who is a Skull and Bones member, a Bonesman, if you were, but scheduling conflicts made it so he couldn't do it. Meanwhile, the hoodlums, they show up to break into Dougie's car. I don't know how long they've been strolling around that neighborhood. It explodes and kills them. Jade, she's getting her Jeep detailed, and the attendant hands her a key. It's a key to the Great Northern, room 315. This is what Dougie dropped in her car when she was giving him a ride. And she proceeds to drop it into the post office box so it could presumably go back to the Great Northern. I'm not sure the mail works that way. I live in America, obviously. I don't know if the mail works that way. Can you just drop things in a mailbox? If it has an address? I thought you need stamps or something. But anyway, this is the key that Dougie had, or Cooper, I should say, when he manifested as Dougie into this realm. But remember, the key is one of the most occult symbols that there is. We talked about, at the season 2 finale, Dr. Jacoby had a tie with keys all over it. Laura hid that key in her diary. Cooper found Laura's key with the cocaine on it. The safety deposit key that was hidden in the astrological black box in season 2. And it's the key is supposed to be the most important symbol in all of Freemasonry. Only this one, it says it's clean, clean place, reasonably priced. Which actually was a bit of divination on Cooper's part back in the pilot episode, because you remember he said that's what he's looking for, not knowing that apparently that's on the Great Northern Key. Then we move over to the Double R Diner in Twin Peaks. And Becky, who's Shelley's daughter, she comes in looking for some money. Norma, she's watching it all go down, and she doesn't like what she sees. What's going on is that Becky is getting money from Shelley to give to her dirtbag boyfriend, Steven, for drugs. And they do a little bumpski in the car in the parking lot, even. Both of them are using drugs. So clearly, Becky's not on a good path. They drive away. Becky is, you know, staring up into the sky with the top down, smiling. Wish I was driving through Snoqualmie with the top down. But anyways, it's a verbatim, almost identical to the pilot when Bobby and Shelley are sneaking out into the car and Norma watches. It's almost the same thing, right? These cycles are being shown to us in this world. We had, remember all the circles and cycles we talked about with season 1 and 2? We had the donuts, the fans and such. Now we see it being depicted in the form of Shelley's life. And then maybe that's why Norma is so cued in here. She's witnessing Shelley go through this abuse, the samsara. The cycle continues. And not to mention we had that weird moment in the season 2 finale when we saw the repeated scene, the repeated dialogue from the pilot, where the German waitress comes in late and Bobby and Shelley are kind of ribbing her. Same exact wording used. So Dougie gets off work. They're unloading from the elevator and the clock says it's 4:30 now. 4:30. This is what the giant said at the season 3, episode 1, right? The giant said, "It is in our house now. It all cannot be said aloud now. Remember, 4:30, Richard and Linda, 2 birds, 1 stone. So here it is, 4:30. Is it relevant? I don't know. Is it a reminder? Maybe. But Dougie, he leaves and he goes in the parking lot or out in the foyer or whatever you call it there. And he is staring at that cowboy statue again for hours. Why is he staring at this cowboy statue so much? At the sheriff's department, Hawk and Andy are looking through the case files from Cooper's case, right? From Laura Palmer, I should say. Nice little spread on the table. Give me them donuts. Give me the Double R coffee. Right? We all want it. And then we get over to, we're still in Twin Peaks, and Dr. Jacoby, turns out he is now a conspiracy theorist named Dr. Amp. What a turn. He fell into that sort of, there is this sort of new age, hippie, bohemian lifestyle pipeline that takes you into conspiracy theories. It's all about questioning the nature of reality and social constructs. And Dr. Jacoby's right there with him. And you'll notice on his hat, he's got an ordinance pin. If you recall, it was in the first season for sure. I'm not sure which episode. When Cooper's in the Red Room for the first time, he's got the ordnance badge. You know, I know because I was an ordnance troop in the Air Force. Ammo. Huh. And Cooper had an ammo pin on his suit. And I still am not really sure what that means. I've got a theory that in season 3, part 8, might be relevant too. If you've already seen it, you know where I'm going with that. But anyway, yeah, so we see another ordnance pin. All right. And Dr. Amp being a reference to electricity, right? From Fire Walk With Me. And, you know, because current is measured in amperes or amps. And he even has the lightning bolts on his lapel. for the electricity. I'm going to play a clip. He sounds a lot like Alex Jones, but he's got a great tagline. You know, the fucks are at it again. Take a listen.
It's 7 o'clock. Do you know where your freedom is? Coming to you live and electrified from Studio A, high atop the escarpments of Whitetail Peak, the roof of the American Hindu Kush. This is Dr. Amp, doing the vamp for liberty, climbing the ramp to justice, and lighting the lamp of freedom. So, what's on your mind tonight? I mean, you know I'm going to tell you what's on mine. We're sinking down deep in the mud, and the fucks are at it again. The same vast global corporate conspiracy. Different day. You can't see it without a cosmic flashlight. Guess what? I've got one. Oh, yeah. And its beam, it penetrates the ignatius rock of ignorance. It flips that rock over, and there they are, exposed, wriggling, squirming, crawling on their bellies like foul maggots, frantically racing back to the cover of darkness that they so crave. We're coming for you. Yeah, we're coming for you. Let's just see what they're cooking up today.
I know what I'll be cooking up.
Know the ingredients.
So he's got quite the conspiracy theory operation going on there. Jerry Horn, Nadine, they're really into this. And we finally see what the shovels from the very first episode of season 3 is for, because he's selling gold shovels so people can get themselves out of the shit for $29.99. Meanwhile, over at the Pentagon, the military, they're researching these fingerprints from South Dakota. And they're like, hey, it's a hit for Major Briggs. We find out this is the 16th time in 25 years, so it's been happening. Major Briggs' fingerprints are showing up everywhere, but he supposedly died. 25 years ago. This time it's in Buckhorn, South Dakota. Because remember, this is where they found Ruth Davenport's head attached to the male torso. Okay. Then we go to the roadhouse. And we're introduced to this new character. It's a man who's a real creep. He's a total creep. He's smoking a Morley cigarette. The bouncer tells him to put the cigarette out. He refuses. And then Chip, the dirtbag cop, kind of takes over. He's doing security, apparently. And instead of him putting the cigarette out, he asks for a smoke. And this creep guy, he slides Chip a sum of money for reasons we don't know. And then proceeds to sexually assault a woman who just wanted a light. And he's super abusive to this woman for no reason at all. Right? So we're just getting a vibe on who this creep is. More to come on him. But there's an X-Files connection here, right? Morley cigarettes, because the cigarette smoking man from X-Files, that's what he smoked. Because the two worlds do run in parallel, kind of. Tammy's in the FBI office. She's comparing these fingerprints of Mr. C and Dale Cooper. Now, she's like, what's going on here? Then we get the final scene. Mr. C, he's in the prison cell. He gets his one phone call, right? And he knows everyone's monitoring him, so he does a little dialogue right to the camera. He says, should I call Mr. Strawberry? And the warden's kind of bugging out. I don't know who Mr. Strawberry is, but he don't like this. He proceeds to send this cryptic message to Mr. Warden or Warden Murphy about Mr. Strawberry, and then he's somehow able to activate the alarms of the prison. But while the alarms are going off, he calls this number and calls into the phone and says, the cow jumped over the moon, and then hangs up and the alarms stop. Meanwhile, in Buenos Aires, Argentina, the camera pans over an obelisk, by the way, of course, the symbol of the male generative powers. But we see this dirty room with this device, this black box with two lights, and it beeps. And then it sort of shrinks into a little piece of metal. Well, this is the black device with the two lights in the bowl that the woman at the beginning of the episode sent the message to after the assassins told her that they weren't able to kill Dougie. So apparently, Mr. C's message on the phone prompted this black box to sort of break itself, like a self-destruction sequence. So to put that together, a message sent to this device that Dougie is still alive, followed by Mr. C's cryptic message, made this device in Buenos Aires self-destruct. What is the meaning? Well, the only thing I know about Buenos Aires is from Fire Walk With Me, the missing pieces, the deleted scenes that we covered in our show. Because Philip Jeffries pops up in Buenos Aires on the missing pieces. And he's checking into a hotel and asks if there's a Miss Judy staying there. The innkeeper doesn't answer but says, "The young lady left something for you," and hands him a postcard. Mysteries to be revealed. And then that's it. Dougie continues to admire the statue of the cowboy with a pistol after closing hours. The credits are rolling. And that's kind of it, right? So lots of seeds planted. That's what some of these episodes do. They just plant a bunch of seeds to be harvested later. So thank you for listening. Please continue your journey. It's got some really high highs coming soon, all right? The next episode, season 3, episode 6, Don't Die. And I'll see you back in the Grey Lodge. Stay positive.